annoy you too much this morning, then if you've got to have a lot of concentration on your driving. But I'm getting used to laying in bed. That's the trouble, Randy. So I am. Yeah. Don't normally get up. Well, I'm always awake at this time of the morning. But I don't I normally stay where it's warm. I was 73 in January, so I got a few messages from a few old buddies. One of them was another lad that's got a few trucks in Ireland. He came across and done some work for me with his trucks in England one time. He was a bit, things were a bit tight for him in Ireland. But I actually had a FaceTime or Skype with him on Facebook. And I said, when's the last time we spoke? He said, it's got to be 6 years ago. And crikey, I tell you, Randy, time just seems to fly, you know? You don't really, you know, time, oh, it just disappears. V5RJM, V5GGW.
Yeah, oh, it does, especially, you know, when you're busy doing different things and stuff like that, you know, the weeks just fly by, you know. It's funny, when I was working, they used to drag on for me, hi. Well, once I started on Monday, I couldn't wait for Friday already, but, yeah, now it's, I'm not working, it's, it seems to go a lot quicker. So, once I start on Monday doing something, I don't realize it, and Friday's here already, so, so I don't know. But yet it stays constant, time, so. But, yeah, it's, depends what you're doing and, all that sort of thing, time disappears on us, so. And, it's probably the most precious thing, you know, time, you know, we all have a set limit, of, time on this planet, so we have to take advantage of it and not waste it, so anyways, that's the story here. Everything's good here. Just did my medications here as you guys were talking there and so forth, so I'm all set pretty much. Just got to get ready, like I said, to go have a shower and that. And but, yeah, so, anyhow, I got a little bit of time here, so, I probably not leave until about 9 o'clock this morning, so my appointment's not until noon, but I got to do a pickup on something there before noon, so I'll probably leave, you know, when I get ready, whenever that is, so. So, anyhow, pass it back to you. There, you're probably itching now to, since you're at home there, you're itching to get at that tower work there that you've been looking forward to since fall time there. V5 Golf Golf Whiskey, V5 RJM.
Yeah, I want to get started on it, but yeah, the tower. Trouble is, you can't really do much with all this flipping snow at the moment. So it's probably going to be another month or so before that disappears, hopefully. So, it's just waiting for the weather, I suppose. But I've still got plenty of stuff to do in here anyway, in the house. I want to sort of start revamping it a bit. Do it up and get it a bit better. So, I'm still thinking about Wayne there. What did he actually fall off of, Randy? Was he up a tower or something, or what? But it's funny that I was looking on YouTube about all these tower climbers that climb these towers. And like I was saying, five people died last year in America climbing towers. And, you know, one guy was saying that I was on the tower next to me buddy there, like, and he was 64 years of age and he was still climbing towers. And he changed his safety harness, hooks and stuff, and he forgot to put one of his, you know, security hooks on, and he leant back, and when he leant back, it wasn't hooked on, and he fell. He fell 240 feet, he fell, and his body next to him, like, you know, you just feel for these people. But it certainly, it makes you think, doesn't it, Randy, eh? The E5RGM, the E5GGW.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I think it was a tower there. Wayne had said he fell from there, so. And, yeah, it's, well, basically scrambles everything up inside you, you know, when that happens. And, you know, it depends on the impact, but, you know, turns to mush. So on the outside, you look probably not too bad, but on the inside, it's a mess. So you end up having broken bones and sometimes, you know, everything's crushed inside there. So it the body holds it in place, I guess, but it just scrambles everything inside you. So yeah, it's a miracle somebody survives any type of height, you know, even falling, you know, half that distance or whatever. That's a great challenge and survive, you know. It's just truly amazing that people do survive that. It's because it takes quite the impact on the body there. So, but yeah, you know, everything's you know, you got to check this, check that, and well, even in our hand license, you know, we never used to have safety in there, and same with a lot of manuals I used to study from when I got my journeyman certificate there. Safety was never a topic we talked about. Just there's the job, you go do it, and that's it. You know, you're kind of on your own when it went to safety. But yeah, since then, you know, they've got a whole chapter dedicated, I think, on safety and the amateur radio study guide. And, of course, all our manuals that work there, they all got, you know, chapters now in the inside the context of the material there about safety. So, and they discuss it and all that sort of thing, have meetings and training, safety meetings or whatever prior to job, pre-job meetings, I guess. So make sure everybody's doing the job safely. And that sure helps a lot nowadays. But years back, you never had that, you know. It was just, there's the job, go do it. And I suppose, you know, it was a lot of inexperience that caused a lot of these accidents. But, yeah, if you didn't learn from their mentors about it, it wasn't really discussed. So yeah. But things have changed to the better for that, at least, and it's good to see. You don't annoy Debbie there when you're lying in bed there talking on the radio. She's probably wanting to get a little sleep there, shut eye yet, and you're bugging her there. V5 Gulf Gulf Whiskey, V5 RGM.
You know, it's when you think about all these accidents, like I said, I think I've seen about 5 people die during my lifetime of work, at work. And one of the climbers, he said when he first started climbing, he said, I was up the tower about 8 hours next to this dish or antenna. And he said, I came down and all my face was burning, you know, where it'd been next to this dish. And it was the RF power, you know, I mean, and they don't turn these antennas off or anything when they're near them. And, you know, it wasn't until years later that they were doing a safety thing and he found out what actually happened, like, and he got burnt by RF, you know, and, well, it'll probably cook your insides. It's like when I used to carry my phone as well in my top pocket. You know, and I've carried it there for, oh, years, 15 or 20 years, maybe. And the phone actually bruised me breast. And I went to the doctors. I said, you know, I thought Debbie had punched me in the breast, like, you know, in her sleep, getting revenge. But, and then I thought, do you know what? It's this damn phone. And it was the phone. I took the phone out of my pocket. Didn't carry it in my pocket anymore, Randy. And it went away. It went away within a few days. You know, it didn't feel like somebody had punched me or banged myself. But yeah, I mean, even them mobile phones, you know, they're lethal. You know, what we do, it's dangerous. I suppose it's like a microwave. We're just cooking our insides. C5RTM, V5TGW.
Yeah, V5RTM returning. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, you know, something that you can't see harms you that way. And, yeah, some of these RF transmitters, you know, they're putting out 50,000 watts or whatever, sometimes 100,000 watts. So yeah, it's when you're near something like that, you have to do some protection there. And usually they've actually probably shut off the transmitters, but like you said, some of the stuff has to, you know, be worked on hot there, and because it costs money, especially nowadays with data and all that sort of thing, you know, a lot of business can go when there's an outage. These banks and financial institutions and all that really takes a beating. So, I can see that happening very easily there to someone there, like yourself there, if you're doing that type of work there. But yeah, I had a puppy dog, you know. This is kind of on a small scale. It doesn't really compare to what you got, but, you know, when I got my license there, I had this puppy dog. He was kind of a little thing there, but he was my little companion. And what happened was every time we'd go for a drive, he would start yakking at me, kind of like a whiny whisper, kind of whiny bark. Wasn't really a bark. It was just kind of a whimper, maybe more so. And I couldn't figure out what the heck's wrong, you know. Just like a baby, you know, that can't talk, you know, yet you try everything from A to Z to find out what's going on. And here it was my RF that was putting out when I was transmitting. Low power, he was okay, but when I was transmitting on high power, he'd go into a whimper. So I couldn't figure it out what the heck could be causing this problem until I realized that every time I switched, it was shortly after, like, my power range that he would go into this whimper. So then I realized it had to do with RF. So his ears were very sensitive to that, comfort, obviously. So, yeah. So, so after that, I never transmitted on high power ever, whenever he was with us. So yeah, it's amazing how these things can happen. You wouldn't think so, but they do. And, yeah, there's lots of information on the net there about all kinds of stuff like that.